I've always said, let's wrap up this parak. This first parak we've had a chance to learn together in Ali Shur. This first parak that has surveyed several different aspects of something we do often, but less frequently think about. We're learning Gemara. Chance to take a look at learning, and learning Gemara in particular. To think what it means that something essential. To think about the role that imagination does and does not play in the course of learning, and that guided imagination can play. To think about the role that verbalizing learning and learning in dialogue with the chavrusa, and how to go about doing that, recognizing the power of a chavrusa not only in terms of the practical aspects of learning, but in terms of the spiritual aspect of learning. Even though this is our first morning together, I think I'd like to let's spend the time right now wrapping up this parak. We know tomorrow we'll have our first nachshir in a while. Hopefully get back into a weekly groove with that. Tomorrow we'll be netter something else that's familiar yet we don't often focus on, the first parak of Esther. The understudied, ignored first parak with the Malbim's glorious approach. But right now here we are on page Chafei in the Alei Shur. A final perspective on learning. Rabbi Shmuel, right, the stars, a quote from a Medrash on Mishlei, Rabbi Shmuel, Borei Kama Kasha Yom Adin, She'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu Lodunas Kol Olam Kulo Be'emek Yehoshafat. Some of the Nevi'im describe the apocalyptic Yom Adin as taking place in Emek Yehoshafat, in the Yehoshafat Valley. And the Medrash describes what's going on there. Different people come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each judge Kemo Shehu, Tamil Chacham shows up, Omer lo kuma sakt b'torah. The Baruch Hashem says, no? You invested yourself in learning? Elohein? Yes? Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hol v'odesa, if you admit to having learned, so then let's hear it. Emor lo fane, masha karisa, masha shanisa. You learned? Yeah. Show me the money. What do you know? Mikan Amru. What does this tell you? What does this tell you? Kamashakara Adam Yehitafas Biyodo. Mashashana Yehitafas Biyodo. If you learn something, it should be Tafas Biyodo. You need possession. Can't just be a ball, can't just go in and out of your hands. The Talmud Torah can't just go in and out of your brain. There's value to learning, but a big and the experience of learning is itself extraordinarily valuable. But a big part of the value is not just having learned, but knowing what you learned. So you won't be embarrassed, Yom Adin. But not just you won't be embarrassed, Yom Adin. That tells you a lot about what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu values about learning. The fact that that's a significant part of the Yom Adin tells you that the value of learning is not only in the experience of having learned and showing up. A part of it is just the asek in Talmud Torah, but a part of it is the achievement, the retention. And he goes on to say at the end that David and Melech would daven about this. It's a fascinating thing. It's sort of a whole separate idea of davening about your learning. Bechina zo sha'orchem la'adam bechina shal emesi. Final bechina. The final test, a bechina of truth, and that you get a sense of a goal, of a tachas chaim lius mishnasa tfus tibiyado, to know, to have conquered Torah. Kamashi diyas yoser brua, yoser nal hi bechinas hachaim shalom. He relates this back to the opening lines of thinking about what it means that Torah is a Torah's chaim. Kihem chayenu varechemenu. To find greater life through the Torah that you have achieved. And that sets a bar for us. Up until I've been talking about recognizing that I need to learn whether I'm pumped or not, and recognizing that just often just the opposite. The excitement will come through the engagement. So often the excitement will come after you're engaged. And we spoke about methodology in terms of verbalizing, chavrusis, and so on and so forth. But what's the goal? You have to realize the goal is not only to learn, the goal is to know. So I need to be Talmud Ubiyano. So you need to chazar. And we're all guilty of this. I learned that I didn't chazar, and I don't know it well enough. And then you got to chazar again. I feel Talmud Sayer. He says, and now think about it from the following perspective. Not scary. Heartening. Think about it from the following perspective of excitement. You're a young guy. Recognize that what you're learning now, what you're learning today, we're learning this year, we're learning next year, you're learning Mishnais, you're learning Gemara, you're learning Chumash, you're learning a Rashba. You're laying the foundation. If you imagine for a moment, picture in your mind, imagination can be very valuable, picture in your mind a construction site that you've passed by. They knock down whatever was there, they're going to build a new building. They build a new house, they build a new apartment building, they build a new office building, commercial space, whatever it is. Right? You picture that, and you pass by one day, and the site is cleared, and you pass by a week later, there's an enormous ditch. There's enormous excavation to lay the foundation. No one's going to see that. 3 months from now, the foundation will be invisible. But that's laying the foundation well. That's everything else is going to rest on that. And understand that what you're learn when you're young is a foundation for a lifetime of learning. The more you invest in knowing it well, the stronger your foundation, the better you are set going forward. And I would suggest also, even if you learned it somewhat now, you're going to be coming back to Chazar. You're coming back to Chazar in the future. And you're going to build on this foundation. And the Masechta is going forward. And return to the Masechta, the same Masechta in the future. You're building a conceptual framework. You're going to build from this to understand how to move forward and how to put other pieces that you learn going forward into place. Use this for Akasha, use it for Araya. You'll have greater clarity in what you learn in a year from now because of what you learn now. And he says, Atikta or Atikasa Akasha Mechadasa. Old is harder than new. Chazal were well aware. It's a lot easier to get yourself pumped to learn something fresh than to chazar. Right? Chazara is not necessarily always... if you have such a taste for chazara, you should be very proud. You should be very proud. I remember distinctly one of the last European Rosh Yeshiva that YU had. The last surviving European Rosh Yeshiva was Shimon Rum. Was Shimon Vesucker. Remember we had... A couple of friends of mine went to stay in yeshiva for Simchas Torah. That year was not big, but we got to dance with Shimon Rum. That was very, one of the last years of his life. That was very special. When he passed away, maybe he was the last. He was one of the last European Rosh Yeshiva that we had here. Anyway, Neuberger said Hespin Beis Medrash. Maybe at the end of the Shiva. He said, it's always struck me. He said, you could see Rabbi Ram as an indication of the depth of Rabbi Shimon Ram's Avos HaTorah is that he was more excited to chazer than to learn a new blot. He said, new blot, maybe I won't get it right. He said, chazar is like going back to an old friend. I'll get to know it better. He said, that's like a sign of like a profound Avos HaTorah. Because usually, if it's all about novelty, so you know, it's more exciting to see something new. It's like, yeah, to chazer, it's like, oh. You know, if it's the deeper the relationship and the more mature the relationship, the more you appreciate the value of Chazar. So if you already appreciate the value of Chazar now, Ashrecha v'tov l'cha. That's very impressive. Chazar, we're aware. Atikasa kasha mechadasa. To Chazar that which is old, it is more difficult often to motivate ourselves than to learn something new. Kasha l'achzor meshel l'mod davar chadash. So what's the solution? So now when you recognize that reality, okay. But the idea, but part of the solution is, Part of the solution to gain over the hump of not feeling pumped about Chazara is to realize this is not just I'm Chazir Blat right now. I'm laying a foundation for a lifetime of learning. The more thoroughly I know what I'm learning now, it's not just this blot. It's going to be exponential. I'm going to build on this. The more sturdy my knowledge I have now, it's amazing. And then he gives another example about this, of this sort of balancing between that which is grabs us most and that which we need most for our for a steady, healthy diet in terms of growing and learning. Hine, the bottom part. Yeah, to hear a geshmak a chiddush is fun. Chiddush Torah ne'emor m'rashi yeshivas b'havana amukim arvika tira tira b'naftali tira b'chaim. It's exciting. Min lo nanim esifra achronim k'sos achoshen chiddush b'chaim. You will definitely come across in your career guys who, the tongue-in-cheek line is, you learn the Gemara in order to learn the Rashba, you learn the Rashba to learn the Ksais, learn the Ksais in order to learn the Vulchanim. Right? There are people who, whether they admit it or not, operate that way. He said, but let's be honest. Because those how you so believe in our Torah is Yidia Brura B'Pshat HaGemara Im Rashi Tosis. Meat and potatoes is what's going to, if you fill your belly just with fun ideas from some achron or another, that's not the way they operated. And you're not building yourself well. And he goes on to talk about the first line of the next paragraph. Sensiut. You know what sensiut is? Yes, it's exactly. Sensationalism. He says, beware of sensationalism in learning. He says, I've come across young guys, they're really not into their learning, but they didn't realize that they were, I know Mendelssohn told me, he spoke recently about Rifyon Yadayim. Maybe you heard that over the course of Shabbos. Rafi Yudayim, Chazal's Jerusha and Rafidim. Right? They were not learning Bezrizus, but they didn't even realize they weren't learning Bezrizus. Why? Because every day the guy hears some fascinating chiddush, it rings, is a barak, some bolt of lightning, bebir is a sugya, some good snazzy chiddush, tzav l'tzav, kav l'kaps, a little piece here, a little piece there, one line zir sham, v'zen asalam regesh medumesh el mili b'torah. So you could be handling and hacking about some fancy chiddush, and you might have a false impression that your belly is full with learning. Reikim hayu, and this is the here speaks the Baal Musar. Reikim hayu af lo hergishu reikana shebam. They're empty without even realizing that they're empty. Because they have something cute that they're working on. But without meat and potatoes, you're not going to grow the Talmud Chacham. You gotta know your stuff. Tanakh, Mishnayis, Gemara, Misha Amal Pshat HaSugya, if you work hard to work through Shaka Vitaria, to know the Gemara well, Yaga Daita Aburya, you worked hard to understand things thoroughly, well-founded, Hu Yigash L'Rishon V'Acharon V'Yam Aleim. Then, when you have a thorough foundation of what the Gemara says and what the Rashi says, so then you come to Rishon V'Acharonim, and then you understand, that then you have a profundity in terms of what's going on. They say supposedly that Revelvel said that his father had said that he wouldn't let him say a chiddush until he had learned half of Shas Gemara Rashi. I'm not sure whether that report is accurate. If Revelvel said that, I'm sure his father told him that. I'm not sure if it's accurate that Revelvel said that. But the theme is certainly important. In other words, to be a mile deep but an inch wide, you're not going to be able to say, it's fun, but you're not going to be able to say, it's fun. You want to have a balanced diet. You want to have a lot of fun. You want to have a lot of meat and potatoes, a lot of bricks and mortar. A thorough, thorough, thorough foundation. If you learn, you pack away Mishnayis and Gemara, and you mamish build your basics, then you're on route to becoming a serious Talmud Chacham. And to recognize, and he's saying, both the need to chazer and the need to focus on basics sometimes seem, might not have the same pizzazz, the same panache. But you have to, if you recognize this, but the solution is recognize, number one, as you throw yourself into it, you'll develop a taste for it, and recognize that it's not just about today. You're taking, you're playing the long game, and you're mamish building yourself. This is laying the foundation for a lifetime of extraordinary learning. You also.
Why is Rebbe assuming that these two things are different? Rebbe was saying, or at least how I was interpreting, was that you shouldn't be focusing so much on the fidushim instead on the on the exciting fidushim, but instead on the meat and potatoes. Like assuming that the meat and potatoes are inherently boring and the fidushim are interesting. Like for example, this year, we're not cover many dafim, so we're doing a little sugya and then many rishonim on it. Isn't that also isn't that learning the sugya? Like why is that different? Why is that not?
Oh, absolutely. I think the way I would capture what he's saying, I think is who was it? Don Segel maybe? Who said many years ago in the Musar Shmuz, he said, what was the line? A friend of mine was in the Nir. I think Sayyid Dan Sayyid was in the Nir, maybe. And he said in Shmuz, you can't be, I know Yesh Ksot al Zeh, Yesh Reb Chaim al Zeh. Oh, there's excise about it. It says, what does excise say? What does Reb Chaim say? Instead of just sort of having sort of ideas floating in the stratosphere, or interesting chiddush and acute vartna, like interesting bits and pieces, to have things, to have a solid structure. To have gemaras down your belt, a gemara here and a gemara there, and a rishon here, and to have things solid as opposed to just, you will walk through a base medrash, many different flavors about the medrash, and come across a percentage of guys who aren't actually, learning through the Masechta. They could spend 2 hours handling on some Reb Chaim that they heard about. They didn't even see inside. They didn't see the Rambam inside, and they didn't see the Gemara inside. But it's like a good Vart that they can handle about it. So that's sensiut, as opposed to building a solid foundation. As opposed to learning the Gemara and then building from there and knowing Vashtet, knowing the Gemara, knowing the Rishonim, as he's saying, and then you build. As opposed to guys who just, like I said before, if you learn the Gemara a little bit, says the excuse to get to Rashba, which was the excuse to get to Ksais, the excuse to get to Elchanan, but you don't actually know the building blocks. I don't mean that the building blocks not have to be boring. Absolutely not. But there is often this, if you're not willing to roll up your sleeves and work hard, then that often be the case. That's true not just with learning. That's a natural human tendency with lots of things. That we're often, many of us often have the tendency to, instead of rolling up our sleeves and actually doing the real work, it's more fun just to get the little bits and pieces. It can be true in human relationships also. That instead of, for many people, it might be easier to have lots of superficial friendships with lots of people and feel like I know this guy and that guy, I know this piece of hack and that piece of gossip, as opposed to actually investing in friendships with people, which is a big piece of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees as developing ourselves. V'lachta v'drachav, and Av is Israel. But it's true in all truly valuable things in life require real investment and sustained effort. And that's true, certainly, for Talmud Torah.
But why isn't the goal just finish Masechta?
The goal is both. Now, the goal is to develop in multiple dimensions. The goal is, at the same time that you're learning tens of blah Gemarashi and chazring them in Bikiyas, and you're also building your Hekif and Shas, but in a thorough, substantive way. That's a heard idea here or there. You're learning how to learn Gemara. You're learning how to learn Tosfos. Learning how to learn Rashba, and building from that, and then learning how to put the pieces together. And then as you grow over the course of years, the different pieces fused together. Just like, let's say you also learn how to learn halacha. But learning halacha when you're younger is sort of very separate from learning Gemara. And then over time, that also fuses. The Rashba saw learning Gemara and halacha as one and the same thing. That's very clear. I mean, you learn the sugya well, then you know what the halacha is. But as you mature in your learning, so the Bekiyas and the Ian and the halacha and so on and so forth can all fuse together into a single piece. But you begin by laying the framework, right? You begin by laying the the foundation. And he closes with the following. He closes with the following. And following very heartening, very optimistic Tosfos. This parak, we've got a lot of place in this parak, spoke about all sorts of different things. Very ambitious, in certain ways very demanding. Could be a little disheartening. Like, wow, like, learning well could take a lot. Mi yodea, am I going to succeed? Ksuba samach gimel. One of the narratives of Rabbi Akiva. Bahadur Rabbi Akiva hitel kalbasavua chosno es nidro. Remember the Gemara tells, different parts of the story of Akiva in different places. In Masachas Ksubas, the Gemara speaks about how Rabbi Akiva's father-in-law was incredibly disappointed, to put it mildly, with his daughter's choice of husband, and disowned her, and took a neder that she's never going to enjoy any of his property. So that was a pretty thorough disowning. Rabbi Akiva comes back many years later. He's a massive Talmud Chacham, and the whole conversation ensues between Rabbi Akiva and the father-in-law, who takes him a little time to figure out to whom he's speaking. So Rabbi Akiva is matir his neder. How is he matir neder? He says, "Adaita de gavarav mina darta." Did you take the neder on the assumption that your son-in-law would one day become a great Talmud Chacham? Says, absolutely not. If I would have known that piece of information, I never would have taken such a nether. Says, okay, so then we came out to the nether. So the Tosfos has a kasha. And once again, a technical kasha and a non-technical answer. Tosfos says, one second, and a glorious kasha, a glorious yishmak and technical kasha. Tosfos says, what type of hetaras adarm is that? What type of hetaras adarm? The rule is, you know, the Mishnah is talking about Nazir. There were Jews who were makabal Nazirus. Around the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, they come to Yerushalayim and they discover there's no Beis HaMikdash. No Beis HaMikdash, no Karbanos, you can't end your Nazirus. Cook had one Talmud who was a Nazir, who was called the Nazir. Why was he called the Nazir? Because nowadays, if you decide to become a Nazir, you decide for 30 days, you're a Nazir for a lifetime, because to end your Nazirus, you have to do two things. You have to make it through the period of Nazirus you're a Kabel, and then you have to bring Karbanos. So even though if you get through the period of Naziris, you're going to remain a Nazir until you bring a Karbanos, which obviously nowadays we have nobody to make this. You can't do that. So the Nazir, I think his name was David HaKohen, he was a Nazir for a lifetime or Achiavo HaMashiach. So he was not Zohar to see being Beis HaMikdash, so he was a Nazir for his life. So the Mishnayis, I think, in Nazir talk about these Jews who became Nazir right around the time of the Churban Bayis, and they show up to Yerushalayim to bring Karbanos, and they discover, they find out the news that there is, tragically, no Beis HaMikdash. So the question is, could they be Matir Neder? So what you learn from Masechta Nazir is it depends, when do they take the Neder Nazirus? They took the Neder Nazirus after the Churban Bayis had occurred, but they didn't know about it. They lived in Turkey. News hadn't reached there yet. They took the Neder Nazirus, Rosh Chodesh Elul, 3 weeks after the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. They had no idea. They come to Yerushalayim. It takes them a couple of months, maybe a year, whatever it took to travel to Yerushalayim. And they arrive, and there's no Beis HaMikdash. Then, hold on, tell us, Hatar Sadarim, if you would have known when you took the net there that there was no Beis HaMikdash, you never would have taken the net. There was a piece of information that was already true at the time that you were not aware of. So that we can, that's the situation lends itself to Hatar. We can undo the net there, and then he's retroactively was never a Nazir to begin with. However, say the Tanaim, however, if the fellow was Makabo Naziros,
before the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. This Jew lives in Gaul, which we now call France. And he took it under his ears in the year 68, 67. And it takes him, and he says he's going to be a Nazir for 4 years. He's a Nazir for a year, he starts traveling, but gets there. 4 years later, he shows up in Yerushalayim, there's no Beis HaMikdash. But when he took the Nazir, there was a Beis HaMikdash. Well, so what's the Hatar Sadar? If you would have known, Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. Ein Posim Benola. That's a rule. You can't do Hatar Sadar Benola, the fact that will later be born. It can only be Matur Nedra based on data that was already true. You took Nedra Zeus, you didn't know a fact that was already true. If Beis HaMikdash is already destroyed, and you know about that, give all of it. Hatar Sadar. But if the fact isn't yet true, that's not a valid basis. Hatar Sadar. So what's the kasha here? I'm going to have and yeah, in retrospect, later on, he became one of the Gedol Yisrael of all time. By the time he took the name of Naziris, he was just Akiva. It wasn't Rabbi Akiva, he was just Akiva the Shachar. The Taisa says, what's going on? What type of Hattar is it on? Hikshu took the Shachar. In the last paragraph here, in the first paragraph, Hal also looked off the Nolad. You can't create a Pesach. The amount of Nedir with Nolad, with a fact that is not yet true, that was not yet true at the time of the Nedir. Listen to this postage. Yesh Lomar. The Lo Nolad, that's not Nolad. Ki Derech Hu Beholid Lo Moch and Nasagot. What? Wow. That's the track. You're working hard? You'll make something of yourself. You're working hard learning? You'll accomplish. Wow. Atrei Mishakach Mutachon. Wow. You're a lucky man. Asher says to his reader, you're a lucky man. That's quite a
havtacha to have in your corner. Um kasher zuya derech, neida gamke keitz l'chakeles nimudenu, v'val nitafeis l'kapos. If we realize that we're on track to accomplish, we're on a trail to accomplish big things, so then we won't be pulled into narrow-mindedness. We won't be pulled into small-headedness. Approach your learning not like I wanna not with small goals. It's approach your learning with big goals, appropriate goals, with big goals. To dream ambitiously for the next few months, and dream ambitiously for the next few years, and to have a goal that I could assign a seder or two. In 5 years from now, to set big goals yourself. I mean, you have to figure out. You have to know your co-hosts. Each and every person is different. You have to figure out what's a goal that's going to be attainable. To set goals that are unattainable, that are unreasonable, is utterly counterproductive. But to set goals that are too low is also selling yourself short. To stretch, to have a stretch goal, and to dream of what you could be. And as I've said many times, I will say it again and again and again. This has absolutely nothing to do with what you plan to do professionally. Whether you plan to be a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, rabbi, or pharmacist, it really doesn't matter. Regardless of what you plan to do, as a Jew, we're invited to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the field of Talmud Torah. We're invited to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu in several fields, but most of all in the field of Talmud Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu dreams for us, dreams that we should dream for ourselves also, to grow great in Talmud Torah, and to become great Talmid Chacham. It doesn't matter what you plan to do for a living. That's a very, very, very unfortunate association that people make. You want to be a rabbi, you have to learn a lot. If you want to learn a lot, you have to be a rabbi. But both of those are, both the implication and its inverse, or the implication and its converse, are both absolutely false. As a matter of fact, the Rambam was one of the Rishonim who writes most vividly about the chiyuv to be ambitious in your Talmud Torah, is also the one who writes most vociferously about what he believes is the Iser to learn Talmud Torah professionally. That's why the Rambam went through different stages of being a partner in a business with his brother, and being a professor of philosophy at university in Cairo, University of Philosophy, and being a doctor. Because he held very much b'shita, position that's a somewhat extreme position, not to say acceptable in halacha, besides that extent. Rambam was very, very opposed to the notion of getting paid for teaching Torah. And he was a big believer in teaching Torah, and he spent most of his life teaching Torah. But he was very opposed to getting paid for that, which is why he has other things to do. My point is not that he apostatized the Rambam. My point is that those two things do not go hand in hand. Ambition in learning and a Talmud Torah-related profession are unrelated. I mean, if you're in the plan to engage in a Talmud Torah-related profession, you better make sure you're ambitious in learning. But to be in to go into Chinuch Rabbanus and not be an ambitious Talmud Chacham, you're doing yourself and your Talmidim a great disservice. But in the other direction, there is no connection. In other words, the fact that I have other professions in mind should not one whit decrease your ambition for your own Talmud Torah. As a matter of fact, when I was a young in here, there was a fellow Nicole who made the Ha'ara to me that he said to me, sort of beginning to first think about the possibility of going to Chinuch as a career. So he said, Tom, then why are you thinking about this? Because if you think you want to go and you want to be ready because you want to learn more, you should be an actuary. You'll learn a lot more that way. And there is something to be said for that. There's something to be said for that. There definitely should be in your mind no correlation. And regardless of what you plan to do for a living, and there are many wonderful things that you can do for a living, Umas, Kala, and Nakia, but other plans to do for a living, making a living is a mitzvah, Talmud Torah is a mitzvah. Sukkah is a mitzvah, and Tefillah is a mitzvah. As well, whether you're going to sit in a canvas sukkah or a wooden sukkah, either way, you have to be a Talmud Chacham and you have to put on Tefillah. Lakar of Zalzat. Wherever you plan to do for a living, regardless, one of the great mitzvahs, growing yourselves as Avdei Hashem and growing close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to be as ambitious as you can be in Talmud Torah. And to dream big, and not just now. And I would close with one final point, which is, in terms of how you think about planning for and envisioning the next year or two or n number of years learning Eretz Yisrael, it's important to one opinion of what we're just talking about is to not be unambitious if you're planning to go into you're not planning to do Harbat Sator profession. Not planning to do Harbat Sator profession does not mean you should be any less ambitious in terms of your vision of yourself as Talmud Chacham. Another nafkamina of this idea is how you think about different stages of your life. It's to recognize that growing in Torah is a long-term goal. The goal is to be a big Talmud Chacham next year than it is this year, absolutely. The goal is to be a big Talmud Chacham 3 years from now than next year. The goal is also to be a big Talmud Chacham 20 years from now than 10 years from now. To be a big Talmud Chacham 50 years from now than 30 years from now. To be a big Talmud Chacham when you're in your 80s and when you're in your 60s. A big Talmud Chacham when you're in your 60s and when you're 40s. Regardless of what you do for a living, it doesn't matter. It's very important to have longer. Rambam writes about this very vividly. About learning and learning ambitiously throughout the course of a person's life. Regardless of what's going on, his fellow is wealthy, he's poor, he's this, he's that. He says, and even the Bali Shabbat. Even if you Baruch Hashem have a wife and children, you have a family, a growing family, which is an incredible blessing, and is the best reason for it to be hard to learn. Baruch Hashem, it's an incredible bracha, and that's reality. When you have... If you've been blessed with a healthy, growing family, so that's challenging. You have to figure out how to fulfill wear all of your different hats well, as a father, and as a husband, and as an aspiring Talmud Chacham, and as a honest, aspiring employee, and so on and so forth. But sometimes people, let's talk Lamaisa, that sometimes guys come back from Eretz Yisrael. Some of the guys go to Eretz Yisrael with the attitude like, I'm going to learn there. The Baruch Hashem people in this room already are committed to, are aware of the idea that Talmud Torah doesn't start, that we don't accept the perspective, the paradigm of American law, that you only become reach legal majority when you're 18, and you really only start, you know, embracing Torah mitzvah seriously once you get there. So Baruch Hashem, we're past that. But at the same time, on the other end, sometimes there is this pernicious notion, and I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to learn yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, and then I'm giving yeshiva, and then when I leave, I have essentially left yeshiva. Even though I might come back to this campus or to some other fine yeshiva in America, and I might be surrounded by Adirei HaTorah, a Talmid Chacham of extraordinary note. And I'm walking, dealing into a Beis Medrash that has produced thousands upon thousands of Talmid Chachamim, Yirei Shemayim, Bali Musar, or Vayashev Lahafli. But if I come back to America with the notion, whether spoken or unspoken, that I was in yeshiva, so then it's incredible disservice to do yourself. It's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you assume you come back to America, you're no longer in yeshiva, then that will be true. You will no longer be in yeshiva. You will be in the yeshiva, but you will not be experienced as the yeshiva. You will be on maintenance. Many, many, many years ago, I think it was the late 90s, maybe right after 2000, there was a particular yeshiva Shermaine Lemus, which put out this teal soft cover pamphlet called The Post Yeshiva Survival Guide. I think that was the title. And it's more like, how to do maintenance when you get back to America. But it wasn't just how to do maintenance to get back to America and you're on a secular campus and there's no yeshiva and you're really out of yeshiva. Even like you're in yeshiva, but you're out of yeshiva because you're no longer in yeshiva's acts, which is located in Eretz Yisrael. So that's an incredibly sad and limiting perspective. And that's not at all what Kadosh Baruch Hu has in mind for us. Kadosh Baruch Hu expects us to have an ongoing spiral, upward spiral of growth in Talmud Torah and Yerushalayim for lifetime. And there will be different important stages along the road. Learning high school is an important stage. Learning Eretz Yisrael is an important stage. Learning yeshiva back in America is an important stage. Maybe some people are not planning to come back to America. Okay. But be that as it may, learning when you're in Sahal, if that's the case, is an important stage. Right? And then learning your 20s is an important stage. Learning your 30s is an important stage. Obviously, each stage is critical. And obviously, there's unique value, of course, to years when you can devote yourself to learning full-time with relatively few distractions is a very, very important stage. And as he was saying, a very important foundation for learning to come. But the perspective has to be this is an important step in an ongoing, lifelong spiral of learning. Not that this is yeshiva and then I'm done. And it always makes me sad when I hear guys who are 22, 23 years old and they're in yeshiva, Baruch Hashem, and they're surrounded by Gedolei HaTorah, they're surrounded by extraordinary chaver. When they say yeshiva, it only means the yeshiva learned when they were 19 years old. When they say my Rebbe, it only means the Rebbe they had when they were 19 years old. If they've been blessed to learn in several yeshivas, then they should recognize that blessing and appreciate each one and grow from each one. And if you come with that mindset, then you're in an incredible place. And you're incredible, you've positioned yourself to keep growing ambitiously, which is what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants of each of us. And if you come with a mentality that yeshiva is only for a year or two, so that's very, very limiting. And that's very, very sad. I mean, why would you want to do that? I remember it's like shooting yourself in the foot. And then that's another very important aspect of this idea. That when people come with certain preconceived notions, whether it's a preconceived notion that every Jew ought to be learning forever ideally in Kollel, so then as soon as you leave, you feel like you're no longer ideal and you're no longer learning, which is very unhealthy. Or you have this notion that yeshiva is only Eretz Yisrael, which is incredibly limiting. I think it's reminding us. Kadosh Baruch wants us to dream big. Kadosh Baruch wants us to dream big. Kadosh Baruch wants us to be ambitious on learning. Kadosh Baruch also wants that part of ambition is extent time-wise, to be ambitious for a lifetime, however many years and decades that Kadosh Baruch gives each of us. That means he wants us to keep growing for that many years and decades. And also to have a vision not only of doing, but of accomplishing. To have both concepts in how we think about learning. Part of learning is lasag v'divrei Torah. And you've heard the Musar Shmuz, I'm sure, about in a Kadosh Baruch Hu Mona Dapim El Shos. I don't know where that line comes from. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't count blocks, he just counts hours. I don't think it's true. I think Kadosh Baruch Hu counts both. Because a second Talmud Torah is of incredible value.
even if I end up not getting the right pshat, even if I end up not remembering, having learned is itself of extraordinary value. And at the same time, accomplishing and knowing and understanding more deeply and remembering more and knowing more and having more hekesh is also a key part of Talmud Torah. To be ambitious in time, but to be ambitious in accomplishment, to have an accomplishment paradigm, the idea paradigm in Talmud Torah, this is a major part of having the big eyes, and not, as he pointed, not getting caught into katnas, sort of small-mindedness, narrow-mindedness. To dream big for ourselves, and to dream long, and to dream wide, and to dream deep in our Talmud Torah is very, very critical. Mitch and tomorrow will open the morning with a nachshir on the first parak of Esther, and then we'll, going forward, get back to Ali Shur. Next parak is about tefillah. He has plenty to say about that as well. Question. And then, Yasu, you also have a question? Another question? No.
I mean, like in previous years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a friend who's a neighbor of yours, who's far better at Chazara than I, and he always was. And you would do well to talk to him. I have a friend who still lives in this neighborhood. But even, I remember even when we were roommates, when we were Bachram Yeshiva, he had like this massive index card box with the thickest rubber band I've ever, widest, like a 2-inch wide rubber band that held it closed. And over the years, he worked his way through, I don't know if he made through all, but most, if not all, of Mishneh Berurah, and he was very disciplined. He used to ride car, like go back and chazer once a week, I think, and ride cars. And over time, he'd like pull out the cars and chazer. And he was also very into Bein Hazmanim, to walk into a Bein Hazmanim with the idea of what Masechta from previous years do you want to chazer. He learned Nedarim, I think, in 10th grade. And then after 12th grade, summer after 12th grade, he decided to chazer Nedarim. Something like that. So I think that's you have to find things that work for you. I think it's very important. In terms of methods, in terms of like tactics, it's Chazal say, the Eyanim Lomim Makar Shlibo Chafetz, that people will succeed in learning when they're in a zone and in a field and in a style that they enjoy. Different people enjoy different things. And different people's minds work differently. So you have to tap in to what interests you. I think that's true for Chazara styles also. Some people are very into everyday city. You open up the Gemara every day, you start from where you started yesterday. You start by chazering yesterday's blot, Amud, 3 blot, whatever pace you're going at, and then you go weiter into today's. For some people that works well, for some people it doesn't. For some people it works well to have time carved out when Chazar is dedicated to Chazar. Shabbos I chazer. During the week I'm going weiter, every Shabbos I chazer. If I have time, I'll chazer last week's also. Okay? So you have to know what works for you. Some people are very into having separate time for Chazar where you cycle through from the beginning again and again. Let's say, I don't know, Shabbos is my Chazar time, so I started the first week from Daf Beis, we're learning Daf Beis, Daf Gimel, Shabbos, I Chazar, Daf Beis, Daf Gimel. Right. Then the next week I went weiter, and then the next Shabbos I start again from Daf Beis, and I'll start going up to it, I'll go as far as I get until where I'm up to, and then again start from Daf Beis, and another cycle of Chazar. So I don't think any one of these is like Torah Mesinai, but you have to figure out things that work for you. Another piece to keep in mind, Revolbo was speaking to strategies, like how am I going to get myself excited about Chazar? Recognizing that Chazar is sometimes difficult to get ourselves motivated for. So he was saying, one thing he was saying is, you know, realize the value of what you're doing, which will work for some more than for others. Rabbi Ezra Schwartz pointed out to me once that psychologists speak about elaborative rehearsal. There is a lot in the psychology of education, the psychology of learning, there's a lot about retention. What things you can do to retain, and specifically, and psychologists have discovered a lot of what we spoke about. There's the multimodal, the fact that you're saying it and that you're hearing it, that Gemara talks about, that has been rediscovered by modern scholarship. Another thing is elaborative rehearsal. Elaborate rehearsal means you add something into your chazara. If you're going to rehearse, you don't just rehearse the same thing again. You add something. Meaning, if your chazara was selected, let's say you learned a Masechta Gemara Rashi, right? Or you learned a blot and a half over the course of the week Gemara Rashi. So if you're going to chazara over the course of Shabbos, you chazara over the course of a Thursday night, and look up some Tosfos, the greatest value might not even be that now you learned the Tosfos, and now you got the new perspective of Tosfos. The greatest value might be that it will help you to retain the Gemara better, because it's a elaborate rehearsal. I think the theory behind it is sometimes when you chazar again and again, you sort of get your brain is sort of in neutral, like your brain is not fully engaged, because you've seen it so many times, you're just kind of almost chazaring out of rote, which is ironic, because you're not really... That's why if you make a rehearsal elaborative, you do something new in the rehearsal, you do it a little bit differently. If you're rehearsing a play, you might want to put on some of the costumes. Or you might want to even rehearse in a different place. We were practicing in the classroom, let's go on stage. Not just to get you break into the stage, but now our brains are working, our brains are alive. My brain, because it's not just the same thing again and again and again. If I'm going to chazar with a chazar and look at the rush, now my brain is alive. So it's a more effective chazara of the Gemara. But you have to figure out, what works for you. The strategies, I think, have to be personalized. But the yesod is universal. The yetzahara to not chazar is practically universal, that chazal recognized. And the value of it is universal. But you have to figure out what's going to work for you, what's going to appeal to you. The different people have different minds. Everyone has a different mind. Different people have different tastes. So, tactics are a matter of taste, but the yesod is...